Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now, let's get started with Results Driven.
Good morning and welcome to Results Driven. My name is Kurt J. High from High Value Consulting. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, please give us a call at 484-431-2874, or you may visit us online at our new and improved website through Lucent Media, highvalueconsulting.org. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out previous shows and how to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. If you're married or have ever been married, there's a piece of Social Security puzzle that often gets overlooked in retirement planning, and that's spousal benefits. Most people think of Social Security as something you earn based on your own work history, and that's basically true, but the rules also allow a spouse to receive benefits based on their partner's earnings record. And in some cases, it can make a real difference in what a household brings in during those retirement years. We're going to walk through how spousal benefits work, who qualifies, how to think about building them into your retirement income strategies, because for a lot of couples, this isn't just a technicality. It can be a meaningful source of income that may not have been fully factored in the beginning. And look, Social Security decisions are some of the most permanent financial decisions you'll make. There's no do-over once you file. So you may hope that at the end of today's show, listeners feel informed and confident, whether they're planning for themselves, for a spouse, or for both. But before we get into the details, let me bring in my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who always knows how to frame these conversations. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Well, good morning, Kurt. And thank you for that. And that point about, you know, permanence is already sitting with me. But before we get into the show, Kurt, how are you doing? How was your weekend? Any new updates? And are you just glad to be back, or are you missing Florida?
We're missing Florida because the weather has been very unpleasant here. But we're home in our nice new home, which we love. We have a lot of things to bring to closure with the builder. That's a whole nother story. But we had a very productive weekend and just caught up on a lot of stuff. There's a lot of unfinished business, as they say. And we're working to get all that brought to closure before the summer gets here. So other than that, it wasn't too bad. How about yourself?
I am good, but hold on just a second, Kurt. So you said bring it to closure, wink, wink, since you're, you know, closing on the house. I don't know. That was a far-fetched idea there, Kurt. No.
Actually, there's a lot of unfinished business with the builder. We're bringing everything to closure with them. Okay. And then hopefully they just go their way and we go ours. So yep. That's about it. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I got a piano this weekend, Kurt. So that was my exciting news. Yes, it was a free marketplace idea. My fiance was willing to go pick it up. And if anybody has ever moved a piano before, it is a pain in the behind. And it is so heavy. And so the fact that he did this for me, I'm very excited.
There you go. Congratulations. I'm happy for you guys. And I'm sure you'll be playing a lot of Billy Joel and Elton John. There you go.
Yes, exactly. I'm excited about this topic today, Kurt, because Social Security is one of those topics where I think a lot of people assume that they'll figure it out just when the time comes. So I'm glad that we're getting into the specifics today. Where do you want to start with this?
Well, Jacqueline, to kick off today's conversation, we'll be discussing a U.S. News and World Report article that comes with the headline, 2026 Guide, How to Maximize Social Security with Spousal Benefits. Let's start with how spousal benefits actually interact with your own Social Security record, because this is where it gets a little nauseating. And it's important to understand before you make any decisions. Here's the way it works. If you're eligible for retirement benefits based on your own earnings, the Social Security Administration is going to compare that amount to what you receive as a spouse. then pay whichever is greater or higher. If your own benefit is larger than the two, that's what you'll receive. But if your spousal benefit would be greater, that's what kicks in instead. What that means practically is that your spousal benefit acts like a floor or a baseline that ensures a lower earning or non-working spouse still has meaningful income in retirement. Now, here's the part I really want listeners to pay attention to. Timing matters enormously. If a spouse claims benefits before reaching full retirement, these benefits are permanently reduced, not temporarily, but permanently. That reduction follows you for the rest of your life. Ultimately, the decision of when to file isn't just a calendar question. It's a financial strategy question. And it's one of those reasons I always encourage people not to make the call without really thinking it through, talking it through with your financial services professional.
Well, and Kurt, the word permanently is doing a lot of the heavy lifting here. I mean, just to make sure I'm understanding, if a spouse files early and takes the reduced benefit, there's no way to go back and correct it later.
Jacqueline, that's exactly right. It's one of those things that can really catch people off guard. Once you file, that's your benefit. Social Security Administration doesn't offer a do-over with very limited exceptions. There's an option to withdraw your applications within the first 12 months of filing, but you'd have to repay every dollar you received, which isn't realistic for most people. For many retirees, the age in which you claim is the age that sets your benefit for life. That's why the timing conversation is so important to have well before you're ready to file. Let's put some real numbers to this because I think it helps make the concept a lot more tangible. If you wait until full retirement age to claim your spousal benefits, you're eligible for up to 50% of your spousal's primary insurance amount. That's the maximum. Here's the simple example. If your spouse's benefit is $3,000 a month at full retirement age, your spouse's benefit at your retirement age would be $1,500 a month.
Well, I mean, that's pretty straightforward calculation. And $1,500 a month is nothing to overlook when you're piecing together a retirement income.
Exactly, Jack. And when you're building out a full household income picture, that number can really matter. Now, if either spouse claims before full retirement age, that 50% ceiling comes down. The earlier you claim, the smaller the benefit. And we've touched on that before. That reduction becomes permanent.
So what does the landscape actually look like in terms of real dollar amounts today, Kurt?
Good question. In 2026, the maximum Social Security retirement benefit at full retirement age is $4,152 a month. That sets the upper limit for what a spousal benefit can be based upon. And after a year's cost of living adjustment of 2.8%, the average Social Security benefit for a retired couple is $3,208 a month. We're talking about real substantial income that's worth planning around very carefully.
Well, that cost of living adjustment is a nice feature of Social Security that I don't think really gets enough attention here. But let's talk about full retirement age, because I have a feeling that's a number a lot of listeners aren't really totally sure about.
It's a great point to flag, because full retirement age isn't the same for everyone. It depends on the year you were born. If you were born in 1960 or later, your full retirement age is 67. If you were born before that, it may be slightly earlier. For example, if you were born in 1954, your full retirement age is 66. For those born between 55 and 59, it phases up gradually in 2-month increments, landing somewhere between 66 in 2 months and 66 in 10 months, depending on your birth year. The 1960 milestone marks the end of the gradual phase-in that started with Social Security reform back in 1983. Those reforms, signed into law by President Reagan, gradually raised the full retirement age from 65 to 67 over a multi decade phase-in period as a way to account for longer life expectancies and keep Social Security program financially stable.
Well, if I'm a listener and I'm not sure where I land, Kurt, I'd want to look that up based on my birth year.
Bingo. And one thing worth knowing, you don't have to claim full retirement. You don't have to claim at full retirement age. You can wait till the age of 70 and your benefit continues to grow the longer you hold off. And if your health and finances allow for it, waiting for that payoff can be very meaningful.
Yes. And I love that you walked through the actual numbers there, Kurt. But can anyone who is married count on that 50%? Or are there other factors that come into play?
There are actually a few additional factors that can affect the amount. Your own earning history plays a role, as we talked about earlier. If your own retirement benefit is higher than what you receive as a spouse, the Social Security pays your benefit instead. The spousal benefit really comes into play when one partner has a significantly lower or no earnings record of their own. Age is the other big variable. Claiming before your full retirement age reduces the benefit, and the reduction is calculated based on how many months early you file. So the 50% figure is really the ceiling, not a guaranteed number for everyone. The amount any individual receives depends on their specific situation, which is why it's worth looking at your own numbers rather than assuming you'll land at the maximum.
Well, that makes sense. Kurt, let's just take a quick pause here. And before we keep going with today's conversation, please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation to ask questions or to get more information on this.
Yes, Jacqueline. They can give us a call at 484-431-2874, or they may visit us online at my new and approved website, highvalueconsulting.org. Scheduling a consultation only takes a few minutes, and we can always work around your schedule.
Now, we've really just discussed how spousal Social Security benefits are often overlooked. And when a worker files for Social Security, their spouse may be eligible for benefits based on the working's earning record. Where else can we go with this? What do you have next for us, Kurt?
Timing is really the heart of the whole conversation. And before anyone makes a decision about when to claim, it's worth doing a genuine cost-benefit analysis. That means looking at your full picture, not just the benefit amount itself, but also things like earnings limitations, how federal and potentially state income taxes may affect what you actually take home at the end of the day.
Well, that's a good reminder that the number on paper isn't always the number in your pocket.
Absolutely. And one of the most important pieces of that analysis is understanding what claiming early actually costs you. And that's why when people come to my office, we run an analysis for them. If you file for spousal benefits before reaching full retirement age, your benefit is permanently reduced. Waiting until full retirement age means you'll receive full spousal benefit, which again is up to 50% of what your spouse is eligible for.
Well, Kurt, are there any other timing considerations beyond just the age question that we're talking about?
There's actually a requirement that a lot of people don't know until they get ready to file. In order for claim a spousal benefit, the person you're basing that claim upon must already have been receiving their own Social Security benefits. Your spouse has to have been filed first then.
Well, what happens if your spouse hasn't filed yet?
In that case, your initial benefit would be based on your own earnings history, assuming you've accumulated 40 work credits needed to qualify for retirement benefits. Then once your spouse does file, you have the ability to switch over to spousal benefits if that amount is higher. For context, you earn credits by working and paying Social Security taxes. And in 2026, you earn one credit for every $1,890 in wages or self-employment income, up to the maximum of four credits per year. The way it works is that your payment becomes a combination of the two that adds up to be a higher amount if you qualify or when you qualify for it.
Well, that's a helpful detail, Kurt. And I want to ask about the higher earner in the household, because I think some people worry about their spouse collecting a spousal benefit might somehow affect their own.
It doesn't. That's really a common concern worth clearing up. If you're a higher earner, the spousal benefit your partner receives is completely separate from your own. It has no impact on your benefit whatsoever. The two are independent of each other.
So let's say a listener has been taking all of this in and they're thinking, Kurt, okay, I want to look into this for myself. What does the actual process of claiming a spousal benefit look like?
I think it's a pretty straightforward process, but you do want to make sure you have your documentation in order before you get started. You need to verify your eligibility. That means providing things like your marriage certificate, both spouses' social security numbers.
And are there any eligibility requirements that might catch people off guard?
One worth knowing is that you must have been married for at least 1 year before you can claim a spousal benefit. It's not something most couples would need to worry about, but it is a requirement. Beyond that, the standard eligibility factors were already covered apply, including your age, your spouse's filing status, and whether your own benefit is lower than your spousal benefit amount.
And Kurt, once someone has their documents together, where do they actually go to apply or look into this?
You have a couple of options. You can contact the Social Security Administration directly to schedule an in-person appointment, or you can apply online through the website. Either way, they'll review your application, make the determination on eligibility. My general advice is don't wait until the last minute to start the process. Give yourself some runway. Gather your documents ahead of time. If you have any questions about the benefit fits into your broader retirement picture, that's a great conversation to have with your financial professional before you file.
Well, we've talked a lot about the timing of when to claim, but Kurt, I want to make sure that we cover something that I think catches a lot of people off guard. What happens if someone claims early but is still working? I mean, can you pause?
This is such an important topic. You're right. It surprises a lot of people. If you claim Social Security before your full retirement age and you're still earning income, your benefits could temporarily be reduced depending on how much you're earning. There's a factor there. It's called the earnings test, and it applies a withholding threshold based on your income. And it's also worth noting that earnings test applies specifically to wages and self-employment income. Things like investment returns, pension plans, or rental income don't count towards that limit.
Can you walk us through what those thresholds actually look like?
Sure, Jacqueline. For 2026, if you're under full retirement age for the entire year, you can earn up to $24,480 without any impact on your benefit. That breaks down to $2,040 a month. If you earn more than $1 than that, $1 is withheld for every $2 you go over that limit. Now, in the year you actually reach full retirement, the rules loosen up quite a bit. The threshold jumps to $65,160 for that year, which is $5,430 a month. And that's the withholding rate drops to $1 for every $3 over the limit. And once you hit full retirement age, there's no earnings limit at all. You can earn as much as you want without any impact on your benefit.
Kurt, that's a pretty significant jump between those two thresholds. But I want to make sure I heard you correctly. So you said the reduction is temporary on this?
That part, that's really important to understand. I'm glad that you caught that. The withholding benefits aren't gone forever. Once you reach full retirement, Social Security Administration recalculates your benefit, gives you a credit for the months when payments were withheld. So over time, you do get that money back through a higher monthly benefit. It's not a penalty in a permanent sense, but it does affect your cash flow in the short term, which is why it's worth factoring in when you're deciding whether to claim early while you're still working.
Well, I want to shift gears here for a moment and talk about something on the tax side. Well, we all know we don't like talking about taxes, but there is a new development in 2026 that I think is really relevant for the people that we've been talking about today. Can you walk us through the senior bonus deduction, Kurt?
Yes, this is a welcome change for a lot of retirees. As part of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, the sweeping tax legislation signed into law into 2025 that's made several changes affecting retirees including the introduction of a new deduction for older Americans. There's a new $6,000 deduction available to taxpayers who are 65 and older. For single filers, that deduction is $6,000. For married couples filing jointly, it doubles to $12,000.
Oof. I mean, that's a meaningful number. I love it. Are there any income limits attached to it?
There are. To qualify for your modified adjusted gross income needs to be at or under $75,000 if you're a single filer, or $150,000 for married couples. It's targeted towards retirees who are in that moderate income range, which is actually a large portion of people who rely on Social Security as a primary source of income.
And how does this connect specifically to spousal benefits, Kurt?
For married couples who are leaning on spousal benefits as part of their retirement income, this deduction could make a real difference by reducing taxable income. It helps preserve more of what you've actually been bringing in each month. And when you're working with fixed income in retirement, every dollar matters. And provisions like this can help stretch that income a lot further. And one more reason why staying current on tax law changes is part of a good retirement planning, not just something to hand off to your accountant once a year.
Good point. And I just want to make sure that we don't leave out a group of listeners who this topic is really relevant for, Kurt. And that's people who are divorced. How does any of this apply to them?
It's a great point to raise. The answer is that divorce doesn't necessarily take spousal benefits off the table. If you're married for at least 10 years before divorcing, and have not remarried, and are at least 62 years old, you may be eligible to receive 50% of your former spouse's Social Security benefits. And importantly, claiming that benefit has no impact on what your ex-spouse receives.
Huh. Well, that's not something a lot of divorced people probably, you know, they don't realize. Are there any nuances to the timing of when you can claim?
There are a couple worth knowing. If your ex-spouse is already receiving Social Security benefits and you're at least 62, you can claim right away. If your ex-spouse hasn't filed, you can still receive benefits once you receive or reach 62. As long as you've been divorced for at least 2 years, the two-year mark is a threshold to be aware of in that situation.
Good point. Kurt, what if someone is already receiving their own Social Security benefit? Can they still factor in an ex-spouse's record?
They can, Jacqueline. If you're already receiving benefits and your ex-spouse record would yield a higher amount, you receive whichever is greater. The same logic is discussed earlier for married couples applies here as well.
And what happens if the former spouse passes away?
In that case, you could be eligible for the same benefits as the surviving spouse, providing the marriage lasted at least 10 years. So even after a divorce, that 10-year threshold carries real weight. It's one of those details that can have significant financial impacts, and it's worth knowing whether it applies to your situation. And that's why I always focus on running a comprehensive financial plan for clients and also running a Social Security analysis to provide them all the options and benefits and the cost of waiting and the cost of not waiting, basically. And that way it gives them the information to make the right intelligent decisions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, overall during this episode today, Kurt, we've really discussed a lot. I mean, let's break down maybe some key points here for our listeners of the power of spousal benefits. And I know for myself, when we talk a lot about retirement and, you know, there seems to be some catches, but this one seems like more of a positive, you know, having a spouse and more spousal benefits. So there is a 12-month window to withdraw your application. So remember that that's temporary, but you must repay all benefits received. And full retirement ages varies, you know, based on your birth year. So age 66 for those born in 1954. Phases up to 67 for anyone born in 1960 or later. But I urge our listeners to go out and check their birth year and the full retirement age. And you can delay claiming up to age 70. The longer you wait, the higher your benefit. We like to say it's better to wait, but it always comes down to your individual plan. And working with a financial advisor is crucial to, you know, how your individual plan and your strategy will look, work and look for you. Anything else you want to add, Kurt?
One of the other strategies I recommend for clients is every year we have them run a Social Security benefit, the ones that haven't received Social Security yet, that they run a Social Security benefit statement. We input that into our software. And again, it shows them, you know, where they're at, what it looks like. Whether you go wait till full retirement or wait to age 70, and the impact of the spousal benefits and what that looks like in the overall retirement picture. So again, it gets back to having that financial planning, being comprehensive, working with your professional team to give you the information to make the right intelligent decisions regards to Social Security and when to take it and when to file.
Yeah, good point, Kurt. And I do just want to add that, you know, the 2026 senior bonus reduction, you know, it does offer up to $6,000 for the single filers and $12,000 for married couples, but this could be temporary. So, you know, not something to necessarily rely on. And Kurt, you will have the best interests and you will keep up to date on all this stuff for your clients. So before we leave today, how can our listeners get a hold of you to schedule a no obligation consultation?
If you have any questions about the retirement and financial strategies and your Social Security benefits, you can visit our website, highvalueconsulting.org, or you can call me on my direct dial at 484-431-2874. And we can schedule a free, a complimentary consultation for you to come in and review your current situation, give you like a snapshot in time where you're at and what it looks like going forward. And again, there's no cost for that. And then from there, it's up to you how you want to proceed. But again, I do work with a lot of clients, giving them a lot of information to make the right intelligent decisions. So.
Yeah, you do, Kurt. Well, Social Security is definitely one of those topics that can get quite confusing. And, you know, once you reach that probably age 60, Kurt, I mean, agree or disagree with me here, but once you reach that age 60, it's go time. You got to figure out what your plan is, right? I feel like that's kind of the age where people mostly go, uh-oh, am I behind? Do I need to figure this out? Do I start it? And we don't want you to be in crisis mode and take Social Security before you have to.
There's actually two schools of thought there. There are people that are very concerned about it when they hit that milestone. And there's other people like even myself, my insurance guy had to call me and let me know I should go on Medicare because I was 65 and I forgot. And I was
yes.
Like, okay. Oh, you know what? We better take a look at that as well. So again, working with your professionals is really key. That's my point. Having the right intelligent information to make the right intelligent decisions is really key with all this as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kurt, for a fantastic episode. I learned a lot and hopefully our listeners did too. And we'll see our listeners next week. Tune in same time, same place. And that does it for this episode of Results Driven with our host, Kurt J. High.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt High at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.